Chapter 19. Torgun reached the bridge after his brothers, disturbed from a meditation that had been difficult to sustain. The place was in disarray. Sannyasa had drawn his blade and was shouting out orders. Others of the Sagyamazan worked their way through the lower stations, examining every mortal as they went.
"What is happening?" Torgun asked.
He felt thick-headed, as if he had not slept for many days.
"You did not hear the alarms!"
Sannyasa was in full armor. All the others were in full armor.
"My Khan, the fleet is on a war footing and we have a problem!"
Torgun stared up at the Jogamail's overhead viewports. White Scar's battleships were powering ahead, gliding through the void in wide formation. Their gunnery arrays were open and primed, their void shield aegis glittering.
"You did not summon me earlier?"
Sannyasa was striding over to a rank of sensorium stations.
"We have been busy, my Khan."
It was then that Torgun saw the bodies, three of them lying face down amid the many crew stations. The ship's engine hum was strained, a throttled beat that missed its rhythm. They were already out of position, far in front of where they had been ordered to remain. Torgun assumed the command throne and began to access the myriad data systems that shunted through the vessel's arteries.
"We are above the designated plane. Bring us down."
Sannyasa turned back to him.
"You may try."
"Do you not see the order scheme?" Sannyasa didn't move.
"Study the wider picture."
Torgun hesitated, then accessed the tactical hololiths, the system readouts, the diagnostic relays. The Jogamail was close to the flagship, treading a dangerous path amid the weaving courses of the big warships. They should have been a long way back, out of harm's way. Then he saw the engine readings. They were far into the red zone. They were going far too fast, burning far too much fuel, wearing down the protective reactor shell.
"This course will lose us containment," Torgun said, seeing the danger. "Shut it down." "We cannot," said Sannyasa. "The cycle has gone too far."
Out in the void loomed the hunt-lean profile of the greatest warship in the fleet, the spear-proud Swordstorm. It was coming about, ponderously, its immense lance configuration snaking with barely contained energies.
"Get us off this course," said Torgun, looking for more options. "Get us down further." "If it could have been done," said Sannyasa firmly, "it would have been."
Sannyasa was implacable, holding his ground. The others, Holian, Inchig, Arm, stood with him, and they were making no attempt to find a solution. The Swordstorm drew closer.
"They will not take us," said Torgun,
understanding at last what had been done.
"Not now." "I estimate the engines will burn out in 10 minutes, said Sannyasa. "Then we will be dead in the void, target fodder, even more than we are already."
He was right. The Jogamail was on a suicidal course, out beyond the protective range of the main guns. Torgun could see the first glimmers of enemy location markers and could guess how quickly the battlesphere would envelop them. They had been condemned to a futile enough role before, but this was automatic suicide.
"You see it? There is no choice," said Sannyasa,
working hard not to sound as if he were overpressing the point. For a moment longer, Torgun resisted, searching for another way. Being manipulated was always hateful, especially from a subordinate. He had already made his decision. He had given his orders. They would not contest Shiban's directive. He did not want to become what he was accused of. Not again. He slammed his fist into the throne's arm. There were over 100 warriors to consider, each one needed, each one capable of killing in the Khan's name. They had proved that 1,000 times over. In all justice, they were already redeemed. The Swordstorm had almost finished its turn, after which the mighty thrusters would fire, taking it far beyond range. Torgun rose from the throne again, shooting Sannyasa a sour look.
"Give the order. Mortal crew to the savior pods, warriors to the shuttle bays. Do it now."
Klaxons began to sound, instantly, as if they had long been primed. The bridge erupted into movement as menials, fleet officers, and legionaries all began to make their way, quickly but without panic, to the evacuation stations. Sannyasa nodded his head in acknowledgement. He had not moved yet. They would not stir until Torgun gave them their lead. He regarded them coldly, but there was no time left for questions, far less for investigation. Witchery ran through the closed atmosphere, fizzing across the cycled air, making him feel both febrile and dangerous.
"Signal the flagship," he said, moving at last, "and let us hope they retain more honor than you do."
The decks passed, one after the other, always descending. The Keshig went first, their pale armor glimmering in the dark. As he traveled, the Khan looked about him, taking everything in, absorbing the detail, isolating points of danger and advantage. The air tasted foul, filtered through machines that had been inactive for a long time. Every so often, he tasted the tang of dry blood. They had passed the blood-stained rooms already. There had been no bodies, just long smears of dark brown on the metal. In several places, there were marks made by carbines, plus the remains of spent cartridges, but no weapons. A few levels further down, even those signs dried up. The chambers were empty, every one of them, scraped clean of life and home only to endless dark, the cold, the faint creaks of the structure's massive architecture. The Khan entered a long hall. He moved his gaze across it, his helm adding in false color to what the lumen beams missed. Ranks of smooth-boled pillars marched away into the gloom, glinting as the lights flitted over them. Iron bookcases, many tens of meters high, filled the wall space, each one staffed with scrolls and leather-bound tomes. A heavy metal orrery stood in the center of the floor, listing to one side on a broken axis. Its rings and dials were covered in algebraic script. The jewels marked the position of planetary systems. Low, long tables sat under the pillars, some covered in the flaking remains of parchment maps. The Khan moved closer to one of them. He reached out to flatten the material, and it cracked along the folds. Namahi joined him.
"There are many such rooms," he said.
The Khan looked at the charts. The nearest was like no star chart he had ever seen, a riot of swirls and serpentine eddies, backing up, switching over, the courses merging into one another. Various labels had been applied in tiny, high Gothic letters. Stratum Aetheris, Stratum Profundis, Viam Sedis, Ocularis Malefica.
"Warp channels," the Khan said. "Has the Ecumen seen these?"
"He says they are like those on Herivale. He has pushed deeper."
"Yashugai remains with him."
"And his guard."
The Khan nodded. He let the parchment fall and kept walking.
"Map makers," he said. "That is what they called my father. You know this? The Cartomancer. He was all things to all people."
Namahi walked alongside him in silence. Like Kinjar, he was a calm soul. They reached the end of the hall. It terminated in a colonnade of thin, perilously tall columns. After that was a balcony, overlooking a deep shaft. The gulf was over 20 meters across, and its base was lost in the shadows. A stair led down to it, clinging to the near wall, zigzagging back and forth. On the far side of the abyss rose another iron wall, covered in a mass of overlapping pipes and cables. The Khan stood on the balcony. As he peered over the edge, he felt a nagging sense of familiarity.
"I have seen this before," he said.
Down below, a squad of White Scars was negotiating the stairs, the soft glow of lumens following them down. Their bootfalls echoed in the emptiness, gradually fading as they descended.
"Some light," the Khan said.
Namahi reached for a flare, unscrewed the canister, and threw it over the edge. The charge tumbled for a while, then exploded, flooding the walls of the chasm. It dropped away slowly, dragging its aura of short-lived brilliance with it to the bottom. The pipework ran down a long way, hundreds of meters. The workings of enormous machines were embedded among the metalwork walls, pistons, flywheels, riveted gears. Massive chains clanked gently against one another, shackled to levers buried amid tangles of thick cabling. The complexity, even to one used to the spectacle of Imperial starships and hive spires, was impressive. The Khan watched the flare fall all the way, capturing the outlines of further devices before it dropped beyond sight. As he did so, the familiarity suddenly became clear.
I remember this.
The far-off past, back when he had first been taken to Terra. He had walked the endless corridors of the palace, exploring the city world from its highest spires to its deepest pits. He had been free to roam, and none had dared hinder a Primarch in his father's house. During that time, he had seen the Emperor only rarely, for he had been called away by the duties of the Great Crusade, and when returned to the palace was habitually occupied with the thousand cares of empire. It had been a day in winter, the flanks of the mountains white and glaring. The Khan had roved far into the deep places, treading the paths of the palace foundations. Earth movers were still active down there, gnawing their way through the roots of the peaks, hollowing out what would one day become the greatest and most secure of the palace's hidden halls. The Sigilites' people were everywhere, mingling with squads of Legio Custodes in crimson robes and golden armor. It had not taken much to elude them. Jagatai had been doing that all his life. He kept traveling, even further into the heart of the earth, the lights dying out, the rock unworked, the earthbreakers dormant and unmanned. There had been a shaft there, just like this one. Cables had run down its entire length, just as they did here. Great energy coils had been sunk into the walls, feeding engines of unknown purpose and power. At the very base of it all, thick with darkness, he had spied a last unfinished hall, immense beyond anything else in that assembled vastness. All the cables led there, terminating over an empty stage. Scaffolds straddled the edifice, lost in the dusty occlusion, heavy with haulage claws and chain lifts. He had not noticed his father's presence until too late, for that was the way with him. He would be there, then not there, like light on water.
What is this place?
The Khan had asked.
The end of the Crusade,
the Emperor had replied. And that had been all he ever learned. Now, unimaginably far away, out in the furthest tracts of cold space, here it was again. The shaft, the machines, the power coils, identical in every detail. He was about to give the order to descend when his helm combead crackled into life.
Gargan,
came the message from Jubal.
They are here.
So soon. He curled his fingers over the balcony's railing in frustration.
Understood,
he sent back.
I return.
He closed the link and turned to Namahi.
Yeshugai continues?
He does.
Bring him back. The others, too. There is nothing here for us.
Then the Khan turned and started to march back the way he had come. There was no time left for speculation. The docked stormbirds were far off, and Jubal would not have notified him if the threat were not imminent. Then he paused, looking back over his shoulder.
The end of the Crusade.
Dark glass had not been made by House Ashelieu. It had been made by the Emperor. Then he was moving again. The questions might be answered, but not now, and not by him. Just as it had done unbroken for every year of his centuries-long life, battle called again. White Scar's fast attack wing screamed out of the empty void. Phalanxes of fighters, fire raptors, storm eagles, Xiphon interceptors scattered ahead of the thundering passage of frigate-level warships. A full third of the 5th Legion fleet had been deployed, every void craft powered up to maximum velocity. The Khaljan thrust ahead, foremost of the true warships. 20 more frigates fanned out in its Promethium afterburn wake. 30 destroyer-class escorts, hundreds of gunships and heavy bombers, all snaking and diving among one another in perfect synchronization.
Faster!
Shimon stood on the edge of the bridge command platform, watching his brothers burn towards the inner edge of the ether clouds, the extremity they had pushed through in order to discover dark glass.
No one rides the void like we do,
he thought.
Signals,
reported Tamaz. Ahead of them, the azure walls of turbulence churned. The vast inner sphere of blue-tinged detritus, unbroken, unscannable, crawling outwards from the epicenter with glacial slowness. Shiban narrowed his eyes. Garbled visual signals multiplied ahead, obscure but tangible, hundreds of them. Every crew member on the bridge concentrated their attention forwards, waiting for the first break in the boiling matter. They knew where the enemy would emerge, a straight line from the Mandeville Point, but only roughly, and they did not yet know numbers.
Maintain full speed, Shiban ordered. Fire only on my mark.
The initial impact would be critical. Their pursuers would be sensor blind, prone, vulnerable, suffering from the damage of the passage as they had done in their turn. Then the first one punched through, shoving a plume of blue-edged plasma ahead of it.
Swing to zenith, roared Shiban. Calibrate all lances on that point.
The ships powered upwards. The fighter wings angled sharply, boosting ahead, followed by the heavier gunship squadrons, then the lance-bearing vessels. Shiban waited just a few seconds longer, watching the azure cloud banks pucker with incoming ship forms. The moment had to be timed, held back for maximum impact.
Mark,
he commanded. Every attack craft loosed its weapons, just as the first enemy prows jutted clear of the ether storm. Torpedoes, las beams, heavy bolter rounds, cannonades, all smashed across the narrow void and slammed into the emerging ships. A curtain of immolation spilled across the sphere's concave interior, igniting against the edge of turbulence and sending coronas of fire flaring wildly.
Again!
The gunships came about quickest, hammering at the flame-wreathed ships from their battle cannons. More lance strikes followed, splitting the void with white-hot intensity. Salvo after salvo hit home, cracking against void shields and slamming hard into the adamantium beneath. In the face of that concentrated fury, even Legion armor would break. Enemy escort shot clear of the cloud banks, swathed in an aegis of drawn-out ether spume and burning plasma. Like firecrackers, they spat and withered, leaking promethium from a thousand cuts, their spines aflame with sequential explosions. They were 3rd Legion outriders, nigh as fast as the 5th Legion craft that preyed on them, thrown hard into the maelstrom and taking on horrific levels of damage.
Punish them,
ordered Shiban coldly, bracing himself as the Kaljian fired its main lance again, spearing the beam clean through the ventral flanks of a tumbling Empress Children destroyer.
Again!
The mass of firepower ramped up another notch, turning the starless void white and gold. White Scars hunters wheeled and darted amid the carnage, swinging in wide arcs like the raptors of the old plains, piling on the waves of destruction. The entire enemy vanguard broke apart, its formation shattered as commanders desperately tried to evade the concentrated barrage. Some plunged low, others tried to climb. A few desperately activated retro thrusters to slow their emergence from the encompassing ether clouds. The Scars went after all of them, running them down, harrying them with a freedom they had not been able to indulge for years. At the forefront, the Kiljun turned hard, exposing its broadside to the burning morass of ships before it.
All guns, ordered Shiban, feeling exhilaration again. Fire at will!
The frigate's macro cannons boomed out, hurling their payloads across the abyss in serried waves. 2 3rd Legion escorts were snared in the hurricane, their shields annihilated, their hulls breached, their fuel tanks pierced. Seconds later, they exploded, spreading huge starbursts of raging plasma and tumbling debris in ragged blast spheres. But then, the true monsters emerged, barging their way through the barrier, their heavy armored prows shoving aside thick tendrils of flame. The enemy battleships thrust into contact like cetaceans swimming up from the deeps, their heavy guns already firing. These were liveried in both purple and gold, and dirty white, the combined main attack force of the Emperor's Children and the Death Guard.
Ready, second wave,
ordered Shiban, watching the giants push their way into range. There was still a tactical advantage, one that had to be pushed for as long as possible.
Select targets and run out guns!
The numbers were already daunting. Line-class battleships roared into contention, one after the other, all more heavily armed and defended than the advance guard. They smashed their way up through the shattered ruins of their own kind, already firing back from main lances, and soon to be in position to launch their own ruinous broadside volleys.
Now!
Commanded Shiban, giving the pre-prepared signal to Tamaz.
All ships! Fire! Second wave!
The Kaljan leapt forwards, its crew feeding a final boost level to its straining engines. The frigate raced out under the shadow of the burning enemy wrecks, aiming for the blunt angle of a 14th Legion cruiser. Its speed brought it away from the potential of the forward lancers and below the fire arc of the macro cannon batteries. Every White Scar ship did the same, relying on superior momentum and position to race in close, avoiding the ship-killing lance fire lanes and rushing in to raking range. Every commander switched power from fleet-range weapons to the close killers. The gunship wings did likewise, swarming over the bridge towers of the bigger ships and hammering them with concentrated bolter volleys. They flew fiercely fast, fiercely close, strafing along the spires of the Emperor's children's ships and the blunt watchtowers of the Death Guard vessels, breaking and burning. Fighter wings shot along in support, soaring clear to loose charges into the mouths of the opening hangars, destroying the enemy gunships before they could even get out of the hulls. The Kaljan reached its destination, hurtling along the underside of the greater mass of the Death Guard battlecruiser and peppering it with targeted strikes from its upper-level guns. Just as it drew level with the far larger vessel, Shiban ordered retrothrusters to fire, subjecting the frigate to a bone-aching drop in velocity.
"Flanking fire!"
he ordered, watching the more ponderous warship struggle to come about. They were close in now, and he could see every panel of every deck level, every comms vane, and every gunnel covering.
Over! Hard!
The tactical crew responded, sending the frigate swinging over on its central axis, rolling tightly and bringing its lateral broadsides into range. For a moment, Shiban relished the sight. The target was just a few hundred meters distant, already burning, moving too slowly to do anything about it.
Fire!
The Kaljan's broadside thundered out, vomiting its entire complement of loaded ordnance in a single block. The macro cannons slammed back in their carriages, barrels glowing hot as the shells sped across the void. They hit in a rolling wave of plate-ripping devastation, impacts feeding from one another, birthing a raging cauldron of liquid fire across the battlecruiser's flanks. Its void shields blazed, then buckled, exposing the hull plates beneath, which were pulverized by the incoming waves of hard, round ammunition. The battlecruiser was bodily crunched aside, spinning clear of the smaller frigate, its underside raging. The Kaljan rolled back the other way, rotating 180 degrees to bring its other broadside gunnery to bear. By then, Shiban was grinning.
Fire!
The second volley had the same intensity as the first, launched by weapons teams anxious to match the performance of their brothers, and the void was ripped apart again by the tempest of the battery launching as one. Mortars and incendiaries pierced the burning cruiser's shell, burrowing deep to strike at its vital organs, its engines, its fuel tanks, its warp reactor.
Now! Away!
Roared Shiban, detecting the first huge energy spikes.
Get us out! Then, find another!
The Kaljan kept firing, even as its Engenarium crew propelled it beyond the burning battlecruiser out ahead, into the oncoming storm of ships. Just as it broke free of the blast zone, the cruiser exploded, blasted apart by the horrific forces unleashed within it. It broke into three, plumes of raw plasma flaring into the tortured abyss, its constituent parts spinning wildly and sending clouds of burning metal flying. White Scar's fighters flew exuberantly through the blazing wreckage, strafing the last of it before circling around to find new prey. Shiban guided the Khaljian higher, pulling up across the expanding battlesphere. Every passing second brought a new ship into the void theater, a huge procession of Legion assets. Soon, the numbers would become ridiculous. They would have to fall back to Jubal's position and consolidate ahead of the gathering storm. These newcomers were too huge and well-armored to be troubled by the firepower he had at his command, and once they reacted to the sensor loss and the damage of the passage, they would be able to deploy fearsome levels of retribution. But not yet. For a few precious moments more, they were disorientated, plunging into a feverish nightmare of swirling fire and an enemy that was fast and savage and had nothing to lose. He almost laughed aloud, just as he had once done in every battle.
"The Khagan!"
he roared, and the crew on the bridge roared back. Then the Khaljian ducked and pushed ahead, its next target located and fixed, its guns reloaded, and its engines at full tilt. Every white-prowed ship in the fleet did the same thing, racing heedless into the maw of danger, unloading their wrath, outpacing, outfiring, outthinking, and bringing the long-nurtured vengeance of Chogoris to those who had dared to chase them down. Every shadow held a flame of malice within it, curling away, rising from the blackened iron like heat haze. The lower they went, the more acute it became. The surroundings gradually changed from the utilitarian bleakness of the upper void station into something new, an almost organic profusion of curls and spirals, all sculpted from the same unyielding metal, glinting in the gloom like obsidian blade edges.
"This place not made for star mapping," Yashugai said to Vale.
The Ecumen nodded.
"Not completely,"
he said, shuffling clumsily through the narrow corridor.
"Something else, yes."
Ahead of them went four legionaries, blades drawn and casting flicker patterns of electric blue across the pressed metal walls. Behind them came two more, and after them, the unbroken shadow. Yashugai checked his comm. Nothing. No orders, no updates. That in itself was strange. He was about to open a channel to the Khagan when Vale suddenly halted.
"Now then, I recognize these things."
Just ahead, the corridor opened up into a high circular chamber, its walls clustered with a ganglia of pipework. Long grills ran away into the distant roof vaults, screening narrow shafts that led out in all directions, and the floor was smooth and polished. Helm lumens rippled over valves and gauges, all linked to a Byzantine clot of glass transistors. None of it was operative, but Yashugai could feel a faint afterglow of heat across the surface.
"What are they?"
he asked. Vale poked at the machinery with his good hand.
"So much power needed. Impossible amounts. But they were trying here."
He turned back to Yashugai, and his face was a ghostly glow behind his void suit's visor.
"We used machines like this on Herivale and on Denel 5. They built one on Denel, and it took years, and even then it was not enough."
"For what?"
"To go beyond the shallows."
Yashugai reached out and touched the machines in the walls. They were old. They looked barely human in origin, more like Xenos constructs, designed by minds far removed from Terran limitations. Even the portals around the edge of the chamber were oddly shaped, fluid, with fern-like tendrils intertwining with the forests of cables. Vale moved across to the far side of the chamber, held rapt by what he was seeing, studying everything. The legionaries remained at the doorways, on alert. Yashugai felt a gathering sense of unease. The air should have been colder. They were far from any heat source, and yet the readings had started to climb. The silence was unnerving, and had been for a long time. Only his own breathing broke the grip of it.
Where was Arvida? Why had he not heard from the Khan?
He moved towards the chamber's center. The poison was getting to him, making his thoughts cloudy. He had let it work for too long. Arrogance had always been the great peril for his kind.
"Something is aware of us," Yashugai said.
Keep away from the machines.
Just as the order passed his lips, the chamber suddenly flickered into light. Strip lumens running up the walls flared briefly, then settled into an uncertain glare. A column of vivid blue light burst out from the floor, surging up to head height, then disintegrated in a riot of cascading sparks. In its wake stood a man, smooth-skinned, young-looking, wearing rich robes and a sapphire-draped bandana across his forehead.
"Welcome to Dark Glass," came a cultured voice,
speaking Terran-accented High Gothic.
"I am Novator Pieter Helion Ashelia, House Ashelia, Carto Mansa's envoy. I'm sure you have many questions."